Pray for our country to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I talked to Christy, and really, I think she's doing pretty good. Sometimes maybe she doesn't feel good in the morning and doesn't start off so good, but but I think the Lord's bringing her along. And Deanna, I had asked Christy to have a plant sent to Deanna because we hadn't sent her anything when she was in the hospital. Well, it just really cheered her. She called and she said, oh, it's so beautiful and it smells so wonderful. And I said, well, we thought you needed cheering up. And she said, well, I did. So she said to thank everybody, thank the assembly. Praise the Lord. And I called to Georgia because I thought, well, we should probably send her a plant, you know, but I didn't get any answer. So we just pray for Georgia and try to get in touch with her still. Well, Matthew 24, the Lord willing, we may finish up tonight. I'm not promising because I don't plan to go in a hurry. And as I said last week, I like for ones to turn to these references because I think it's important and it's good for us that, and it is a Bible study. So it's a Bible study. We're here to study the Bible. 24th chapter, and we're ready for verse 29. And I'm going to maybe get a little bit ahead of myself and refer back up to verse 22. You know, the first lesson we had was the beginning of sorrows. Then last week we had the lesson that was the tribulation period. And how terrible and great tribulation in verse 21, those last 3.5 years. Oh, it's going to be worse than this world has ever seen or ever will see. That's what we're told in verse 21. And then in verse 22, that's what I want to draw your attention to, except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Did you ever wonder, well, now what takes place in those shortened days? Well, we're going to have it tonight. That's our lesson. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So this is the third part, we might say, of that 7 years that is known as tribulation. We had the first 3.5 years, and then the last 3.5 years, and now this is the third part, those shortened days. And from the definite timelines that we are given in Daniel. And I have said this when we studied Daniel, and I don't know whether you remember it or not. But though definite timelines and days, he did that with Israel, but not the church. We never are given those definite timelines, but to Israel, he did. And so when you count how long the 7 years are, in days and so on, and you follow those timelines, then it's obvious that the shortened time is 75 days. And we wouldn't know that except the timelines that are given unto us in Daniel. There's going to be a terrible upheaval in the heavens, as we just read in this 29th verse. And we also read in Revelation, the 16th chapter of this. And I'm going to read there. And if you want to follow along, the 16th chapter of Revelation and verse 8 and 9. I'll give you a little time to get there. Chapter 16 of Revelation, verse 8 and verse 9. And the fourth messenger poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And how did they react? Did they yield? They blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So there we have the ungodly men. And we read here that the sun is going to scorch men. And the sun is a star, they say. And not that I know a lot about these things, but I have read it and I believe it. It says when a star burns out, it gets hotter and hotter until it burns itself out. So that is one thought, that this is what will happen with the sun. Get hotter and hotter and just burn itself out. Anyway, terrible things will happen. Revelation, the 6th chapter. You might keep your hand in Revelation. We're going to be going there pretty often. Let's go to the 6th chapter and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Yes, all nature apparently is on the verge of ruin and will need something stronger than creature hand to save it from collapse. If you go by the advertisements on TV of the movies and things, or programs that's coming up or something, there's always someone, one that's out and he's getting ones together. They're going to save the world. They're going from some tragedy and darkness and so on. But this, no creature hand can save it from collapse. Let's in our Matthew. I'm going to read verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I was struck that the sun's been blackened. But when he appears, he's the light, isn't he? And all the tribes, of course, this is the tribes of Israel, they shall see him and mourn. And he comes in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, the sign is Jesus himself. And, you know, the unbelieving Jews had asked for a sign, didn't they? Well, it's the Son of Man once crucified. He is the sign. And now he is seen in the darkened sky coming to deliver his people. He came unto his own the first time, didn't he? And they received him not. But he hasn't forgotten them. No. And his love for them and his promises to them. He is coming to deliver his people. Just remember what time it is. They have suffered greatly, and he is the sign. Hallelujah. And they shall see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, we just have to read from Zechariah. Just have to. Well, if I can get there. I want to turn to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. This is a moving portion to me. Let's start reading with verse 9, and I'll read through to the end of this chapter. Zechariah 12, 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart. So we see here when it said all the tribes, you see what I said? It's the tribes of Israel. And the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. And all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Oh my, there's going to be a great mourning. They're going to understand that they had crucified their Messiah. And oh, how they're going to mourn. Every eye shall see him. I believe this means their physical eye, they are going to see him. I don't think this is talking about by faith. I don't think this is talking about in vision, but with their physical eye, they shall see him, all the tribes of Israel. And the clouds of heaven, we believe, are the heavenly host. And there's scripture to back this up. The heavenly host of the saints. First, in Hebrews 12:1. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1. Very familiar verse, but it's good for us to look at it anew. We see here the saints are called a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's it referring to? Wherefore, it's referring to the chapter before. And we have the worthies of faith. They're of the Old Testament. And what are they called? Cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So there we see the saints are called a cloud of witnesses. All right, Revelation, the 19th chapter. Let's look at it. Isn't it good to run down the scriptures? Yes, the 19th chapter and the 14th verse. We see here, they're not called a cloud here. In this portion, they are called the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 9:14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him, our Lord, upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Of course, the horses, that speaks of a power and authority, you know. And of course, maybe it says he comes with power and great glory. So while we're here in this 19th chapter of Revelation, let's go up to the 11th verse and read down. at least through 16. And I saw heaven open. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. That's how powerful his word is. He just has to say it, doesn't he? Speak it. He shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's not far off. Even though we're reading at the end of tribulation, which means that 7 years, but it's not far off. I don't believe so. Verse 31 of our chapter, let's continue there. And he shall send his angels or messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. I started writing down all the references in the Old Testament to back this up, and it was just too many. It was just too many. It goes way back to Moses. And then all of the prophets. This is mentioned. Yes. Israel will be gathered where they had been scattered by divine decree. And we will turn to Daniel 9:7. Daniel 9:7. Well, me too. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, though through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. Now this is telling of their scattering. It was by divine decree. And it tells the reason why. Yes, it was because of their trespasses against him. And they had turned to other gods. The angels here that we read of, and in the Greek is messengers, and these are redeemed, glorified men, and they shall call them back to God, those of Israel. And what does it say? With the sound of a great trumpet. Well, I can't explain that. I just know what the Bible says. With the sound of a great trumpet. God seems to like the sound of the trumpet. He mentions it quite a bit in Scripture. Well, we remember how Joseph was so moved in love toward his brethren, and then he revealed himself unto them when they had come, and they bowed before him too, didn't they? So Christ will yearn over his people. Yes, he will. As he views them in their homeland, a new creation, no more to roam. Yes. Can you imagine it? You just maybe get a little taste of what it will be like, how he will yearn over them. Daniel 12:12 says, "Blessed is he that cometh to that time." And verse 32, now in our Matthew, Jesus gives a parable. And he tells us of another sign of this coming to pass. Verse 32 of Matthew 24, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." The fig tree, of course, in Scripture is likened unto the nation of Israel. I have several scriptures to back that up. I didn't know whether we would turn to him or not. I think we will. Hosea is the first one.
Hosea.
Now I've got my fingers in too many places here. Let's turn to Hosea 9:10. "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal-peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved." Well, I could go into the rest of it, but I'm not going to. But it's to show that Israel is likened unto the fig tree. Let's turn to Isaiah 5:1. Isaiah 5:1. Another place. "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." Let's go to the sixth chapter here of Isaiah and start reading with verse 9 down through 13. "In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephod. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink." I didn't get to the right chapter, did I? Okay. All right. I knew something was wrong. All right. 6:9. "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Till the cities be wasted without habitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth. It shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, and whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so shall the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." So this tells us of a remnant that shall be saved. You remember the story when Jesus went to Jerusalem. At that time, it was called his triumphant entry. And the next morning, he went outside the city And there was a fig tree, but it had no fruit on it. And it had leaves, but no fruit. We read of that in Matthew 21. Jesus cursed it, and it dried up immediately. And the disciples that were with him marveled that it dried up so quickly. And it represented Israel. And they bear no fruit unto God. Leaves kind of speak that they had a profession. The Jews even will say they are God's chosen people. Even the unbelieving Jews. But they didn't bear any fruit to God. And that is how Jesus found them when he came at his first advent. And we see the beginning of Israel's restoration here. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, this is already coming to pass. You know how we spent a long time on the first lesson about how that the dispensations overlap? I believe that this end time overlapping of the dispensations really began in 1948. That's how long this overlapping period has been so far. But I don't think it's it's we're coming to a time where we're going to leave. Well, Israel has some leaves, and you know they are still a young nation. As far as being a nation, I think it amounts to 69 years now. But afterwards, they will get fruit. That's when they accept their Messiah. But you notice this where it says, when ye see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Of course, it is a sign for Israel. That's very plain that this is to Israel. But also, Israel is a sign for us, a mighty important sign. And when we see these things beginning to come to pass, look up for the door to open. The door to heaven to open. Hallelujah. It's going to open for us. We could turn to, I think I will. Revelation 4:1. Now, this is John, of course, and he's seeing a vision. It's not going to be a vision one of these days. We're not going to be seeing a vision. But after this, I, John, looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Well, thank the Lord, we're looking for that day that the door is open for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I've kind of lost my place on my notes here. Israel will have a door open for them here up on the earth, though. It will be here upon the earth. All right, in our chapter, let's go to verse 34. All right, where am I at? 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now this is a verse that many people have different ideas upon. And I believe that it's speaking of the generation. I don't want to say this wrongly. I'm going to pass for just a minute and come back to that. How much nearer is our calling up to be with Jesus? I do, you know, sometimes we're tempted to maybe think of the time, but we know that it says no man knows the time of the Lord's coming except the Father only. And there's ones who have thought, well, Jesus as a man didn't know, but that he knows now because he's God, you know, and he's returned to his glory as before. I'm not sure, and I wouldn't say, but he does say it's in the Father's hands. But we also read in Daniel that he changes the times and the seasons when he will. So, well, we read here how he shortened tribulation when days, but he can lengthen days, he can shorten days, but we can be sure of one thing, though, his promises shall be fulfilled. Some of the things that are happening in our country today are downright shocking, and we would have thought years ago we wouldn't see these things happen in our country. No, we wouldn't have thought it, you know. But God has some purposes, and they're going to come to pass. And we, you know, things are going to happen that we don't like. But God's got some purposes, and they will come to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Verse 35. Yes, thank you. I have some ones I want to read on this. 2 Peter 3:10. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. All right. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But the word of God shall still endure. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And Hebrews 1, verse 10 through 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are as the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thine years shall not fail. Well, I think that's enough on that subject. So let's go back to our chapter, let's read verse 36 again. I said I'd come back to it. It said, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And at the time that Jesus was speaking, no man knew, of course. And Jesus, as a man, I have heard Sister Bodie say this, she said, as a man, he did not know. But the thinking is that as God, he knows all things. All right, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they're marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think what is emphasized here is the suddenness. The suddenness of his coming, and it will be a surprise to the world. And it will be as unwelcome as a thief would be unwelcome, even as the flood was. And in Noah's day, the flood came suddenly. It swept upon them and upon the ungodly, took them all away in judgment. And some would like to refer to this as the rapture, but no. As in the days of Noah, and what was that day? It was a day of judgment. And this is speaking when Christ comes in judgment. And in Noah's day, who were saved? Those that, when the flood came, it was only those who entered into the ark, which is a type of Christ. And many were swept away in judgment. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one will be taken and the other left. Now, this is another portion that is misinterpreted. It will be a time of separation and selectiveness of its objects. And today is a time of separation, but that's a spiritual separation. And the Lord is separating us unto himself and from the world. But when he comes in judgment, there will be an actual separation. And we will read later, maybe not tonight, but we will read later, there will be a separation, even saint and sinner, I should say. And we will read later then between saint and saint. The one taken, does this talking about taken to heaven? Is that the subject? The one taken is taken in judgment. And the other left. And that's the way it was in the flood, wasn't it? The ones left were in the ark and they were safe. The one taken here is not talking about being translated or anything. This is taken in judgment. The day of judgment will show plainly who is a believer and who is not. And what do we read in the day of Noah too, after the flood went down? And Noah and his family were left for a blessing in the earth, weren't they? And so we see the believing Israel. All right, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. And so what is emphasized here? Watch. Watch. That's the admonition here. And we think of the night watches there and of course, they happened at night. Well, this is going to be a nighttime. Tribulation is going to be a nighttime of the earth. And the night watches, the watchmen would watch the city, that no danger would come unto them in those night watches. Well, there were four night watches from 6 o'clock at night until 6 in the morning. And I know the hours of all four, but I don't see any reason to go into that too much there. But in Matthew 14:25, Jesus came unto his disciples walking on the water. It was in the fourth watch of the night. That's kind of interesting, I think. And the tribulation days are the nighttime coming upon this world. And in the fourth watch, he will come to Israel. In 2 Peter 1:19, it says, the day star will arise. We're not in that time because we're not of the night. We're of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. I think we got at least read 5-9. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He hath not appointed us to wrath. We shouldn't have to take part in that, but the choice is up to us, isn't it? That some are going to taste of it. Well, in Acts 1, verses 6 through 8, Jesus' disciples ask, will you at this time restore Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, in our chapter, let's start with verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. I think we'll stop right there. The emphasis is, be ye also ready. That's up there in verse 44. I've underlined it in my Bible. And this is primarily speaking to Israel, of course. But the example of being ready, as we read here in verse 45, then who is faithful and a wise servant, is for, we know we need to be ready, don't we? Yes. And God loves faithfulness. He who is faithful and a wise servant, and praise the Lord. Then it says, to give them meat in due season. In other words, to feed others too. Verse 48. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Principle that we read here can certainly be applied to us. Now, we know this is written to Israel, but the wise and faithful servant, looking for the Lord and expecting him to come every day. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you can draw, you know, it's in the verse 45, it says a faithful and wise servant. Then in verse 48, it talks about the evil servant. That's the unfaithful. Yes. You know, when a man or a woman knows the boss is watching at work, he puts out a little bit more work, doesn't he? Than when maybe the boss is out of town. Well, there's two kinds of servants here, and we see the contrast with them, the faithful and the unfaithful. And there's some servants who are just professors, and they don't possess. But they can put on a good front, and they serve themselves, really. I don't have any more I wanted to say on this portion. I did have something to say on one of those verses, and I couldn't find my notes on it. Oh, verse 34. Yes, I told you I'd come back to it. I found my... Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, I agree with what I have been taught, and that is the generation when Israel begins to put forth leaves. They believe that's the generation. Well, 1948. But we can't name the time. But that generation, that's what I was taught in prophecy class, and I agree with that because of what the Lord says here. And when Israel starts to put forth leaves, know that summer is nigh. And they became a nation, and they became a nation in a day. No other nation became a nation in one day. But in one day, he proclaimed them as an independent state, and that same day the United States recognized them as a state, as a country, as a state. That's what I had to say on that, and I couldn't find my notes when I first was reading it, and I didn't want to say something. Sometimes, if I don't look at my notes, I don't want to depend upon my memory. It's not as good as it used to be. Well, we finished the 24th chapter.
You know, Bert, one of my favorite songs that you and Rhonda kind of